That's right.
Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast. Usual Friday.
Hey, what is up, everyone? I have got Dan Wilkes on to talk about it Friday, and we're going to talk about his book, his journey, and we're going to, you know, get a great insight about Dan. So, not Dan, sorry, I interviewed someone called Dan. Andrew, I do apologise. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right, it's okay.
That's brilliant. Tell people a bit about you.
As far as it goes, I'm an house husband. Help look after my children and my wife. She's not very well.
Yeah.
And I do a reasonable amount of writing in between. I have autism. I was unfortunately born with that.
Yeah.
And I weren't diagnosed until much later on in my life. Prior to being diagnosed with autism, I was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, which were horrible.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
No, you ask your question.
Oh, no, yeah, I was going to ask, how do you deal with that?
With medication. That's what happens in, you know, where doctors are concerned. They just hit you with as much medication as they possibly can get away with.
Yeah.
Rather than actually dealing with the problem. And my problem was sensory, so every time I went out, there were all lots of different sounds, smells, lighting, and whatever else, and it made going out into the world pretty difficult, so...
Wow.
People thought I was hearing voices, and I weren't. I was just hearing everybody talk at the same time, for instance, and it just weren't helpful.
Wow. That's part of autism?
It is for some people, autism, yeah, because it is a spectrum. So some people are really sensory, and others are not so sensory. So it depends on person.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have two children with autism, so that's interesting.
But it is lucky, to be honest with you. I mean, you saying that, I mean, it's lucky that you've been through that, because then you understand it. So then that you can tell your kids, well, okay, this is this and this is that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, for instance, my eldest son, it was difficult with him, because his kind of autism's, like, he's very emotional.
Yeah.
And he calls me a robot. I'm not. I do have emotion. I'm just, I have low emotion quotient kind of thing. Yeah. So for instance, he's really out there. He can be crying one second and happy as Larry next.
Yeah.
And then there's my daughter, she's a lot like me. She's very sensory.
Yeah.
But she's also emotional like him. So it's kind of like a mixture of both.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
Wow.
And then she can become quite violent because of it.
Yeah, that's the thing as well, because I've encountered a few people with autism, but I've never quite understood that. But my partner has ADHD, so I'm just understanding it, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, ADHD is a difficult one, because my eldest lad, he's got ADHD as well as autism, and he also has Tourette's.
Yeah.
He's quite a mixed bag as far as conditions are concerned, but ADHD does kind of fall under that umbrella. There's like what they call overlapping conditions.
Wow.
So like ADHD kind of like slips into that sphere, so to speak.
Yeah.
So like you've got, like, if you call it three circles, your ADHD will sit inside one of those circles. So, you know, with ASD and whatever else. So they're all kind of interconnected with each other anyway.
Wow. Wow.
It's a complicated world.
It is. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. So what is your actual story for you wanting to, be a writer?
Well, I struggle to contribute to the world, if that makes sense. So, for instance, like, a lot of people can do a 9-to-5 job and they're okay with that.
Yeah.
And I don't really do well with large groups of people and socializing in that respect.
Yeah.
So this is my way of contributing. It's my way of getting back to the world.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely fine. I mean, yeah, I totally understand that. I mean, I don't exactly do a 9-to-5 job either. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the way it is.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. So we're writing. I mean, it's not my preferred. But I wanted to be a spy when I were a kid.
Same. I remember those days.
I wanted to be James Bond.
Yeah, same as.
We
can still be James Bond.
Absolutely. Or in Hitman. I did want to be in Hitman too. And when I told my careers advisor that, she told me no. He said, you're not being a hitman. and Army won't have me because I have asthma.
Yeah.
So they said no.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I've got asthma too. It's horrible.
Yeah, asthma is horrible. Yeah. And I really wanted to join Army. I did 3 years in Army Cadets.
Oh, okay.
And I loved it. And, you know, because it's like regimented and everything's... You've got like a... You've got everything's there, and you have to follow rules, and you have to follow a set plan.
Yeah,
and I love that kind of structure, and I thought it was great. And then I thought, well, when I leave school, I'll join Army, and I'll just carry on with that. And I was told flat out, no,
yeah,
you can't join it.
Yeah, it's the asthma thing that gets in the way of everything, really, isn't it?
It really does, yeah. So I was told not on that one. So nowadays, I do all my murderings and things in writing.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, it don't hurt anyone really.
Well, no, of course, it's part of what, you know, being an author. Just see my book. Wow.
Oh, yeah. God. Just murdering never hurt anyone.
That's it.
And so I get to murder people as much as I like in literature, which I think is brilliant. And you know, you can go to some really dark places inside your mind and then you can put that on paper.
That's true. Wow. So what inspired you to write?
Well, my mum were really ill. Well, prior to we actually being ill, my son were diagnosed with a leaky valve in his heart. And I thought, right. Well, if I don't actually run, you're probably not going to get treat really well.
Yeah.
And mitral valve prolapse, I think they call it. Anyway, that worked out to not being as much of an issue as I originally thought it would be. Apparently, they grow out of it, kids. And I thought it was going to be something pretty big, to be fair.
Yeah.
When somebody says, through your heart, you automatically assume something really bad's happening.
Absolutely.
So I thought, if I make some money, I can deal with that, you know, financially speaking.
Yeah.
I started to write because writing is not really my first choice for doing things. It requires a lot of concentration and something I'm not particularly great at.
Yeah.
Down and focusing. So I forced myself to do that. And then my mum got really poorly.
Yeah.
And that kind of slowed me down a little bit. But then I thought, I'll get it done so that she can read it because my mum loved to read. She's an avid reader. But sadly, she passed away. Made her really, really poorly and there were no coming back from it.
Wow.
So she never actually got to, she never got to see my book in print, which, you know, it's a sore subject kind of thing, like, but it is what it is. Nothing I could do about it. In fact, it's my only regret in life. I lied to her. I said to her she was going to be okay and I knew she weren't.
Yeah.
And the only time I've ever really lied in my life. And everybody said, oh, no, it was one of them lies you can do and get away with. And I'm like, I don't know.
I think personally, you know, your mum might have already knew, you know.
Yeah, I got the feeling she did.
Yeah.
That look of horror in her eyes every time I saw her. Well, you know, it painted enough for a picture, to be fair.
Yeah.
He said pretty much, you know, that she didn't have long left. But she lasted, I think it were about 9 months she lasted, like she were. So she fought on pretty well.
Yeah, I was going to say, proper fighter there then.
Yeah, she slugged it out. She fought for every day, put it that way.
Yeah, blimey. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's all right. People live, they die. It is what it is.
That's it. So how many books have you wrote?
My second one's done and it's ready to be published. So I'm going through the whole affair by myself though, at the moment. I'm doing it self-published rather than my first one with Austin McCauley.
Yeah.
And although Austin McCauley are a great bunch of people, I like to be the pilot of my own ship, if that makes sense.
No, that's I think a lot of authors recommend that, self-publishing.
Yep. And I've put a lot of research into it, a lot of research. Like KDP is a good route to go, kind of.
Absolutely. I think like most people are not aware. I don't know whether you're aware, but KPD have this this free promotion. I don't know whether you're aware of that.
Yeah, well, you could get some ebooks away for free.
Yeah, and you can also promote it as well, which is pretty good, and it gives you a hell of a good ranking.
Yep. You see, I'm looking into stuff like that because what it is, I am self-publishing.
Yeah.
But I thought my own ISBN numbers from Nielsen.
Yeah.
I'm using Ingram Spark as a distributor.
Okay.
So I'm going to look into how I can work using KDP with that as well, because like, I know that you can push all your ebooks through Kindle anyway. That's what Ingram's. So I'm going to look into that and see how I can work that round.
Yeah, no, definitely. So how many books have you got in total then? Is it two or three or?
In total, inside my head, I don't think I'll be able to write them all in my lifetime.
Yeah.
There is a fair few. I'm currently writing a series of books called Saviour, although that's slowed down that set of books because I'm publishing this one and I had to learn how to do formatting and what have you else on, you know, for my ebook and what have you, because I didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time having to do formatting and editing and styling, for your books, so you can put it into ebook.
Yeah.
And then I had to learn how to switch it to PDF and what have you else and do artwork, and it's been a learning process to say the least.
Yeah, actually, if I remember rightly, I've actually got it on my desktop. It's a software that it's a beta at the moment, but it's something that Amazon are doing. It's called Kindle Previewer Free.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. And I also use another, I don't know what, I think it's something to do with Kindle Previewer, but what it does is that it formats your books for you.
Yep.
Yeah, are you aware of that as well?
No, I did it all myself. I watched, there were a guy, I can't remember what he's called, and I'll have to look him up and I'll put some links on my page.
Yeah.
The guy who does this, he's a brilliant walkthrough on how he formats his books. And to be fair, he saved my bacon, really, because I had no idea what I was doing. And he teaches you how to do the whole thing so that you've got, like, inside your ebook, you've got a table of contents that works and can move you from one page, one chapter to the next and all sorts of other stuff. So the guy, he does this really good talk through on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's clear and understandable. So, I did his. And to be fair, the ebook works brilliant. The only thing that I can't get working properly at this present moment in time is the image. It won't go beyond the padding, margin paddings.
Oh, right.
It sits within the margin of a page.
Oh, yeah. I'll drop you a message how to get around that. I've actually mastered that.
That's brilliant, because I went to HTML and I rewrote the entire script for that page and it still does the exact same. And I'm like, no.
The only thing, they transferred Create Space over to Amazon, and there was like their new regulations with their covers as well. It's like, oh, you need to get rid of this, you need to get rid of that, you need to get rid of the background. I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks for that.
Yeah, now I have no picture.
Oh man, it's terrible.
It is bad because like they want it in a certain amount of pixels as well, so they want it, pixel width by pixel depth, and it's like, oh,
no,
I'm not a tech. You know what I mean? I don't know these things, but like having to learn the entire tool set that usually has a group of people that have different tools, and now I'm having to learn it all just as one person. It's not easy.
Yeah, exactly. So what?
Not easy at all.
Exactly. I mean, what books would you say that you write? Is it thriller, horror, or?
My first set of books, Expectations, that I wrote, that's about a female serial killer. A lot of people are reading 50 Shades of Grey.
All right.
And I'm not a romantic guy. In fact, I'm about as romantic as a monkey with a sledgehammer. I'm really not romantic. Not even. And I thought, well, I can write naughty scenes. That's fine. But I thought, well, I want to put a little bit of spice attached to that.
Okay.
So what I came up with the idea of a female serial killer that goes around and she does she has some adult time with people and rates them on the performance.
Yeah.
And then
I think we need to swap books.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Ours is quite identical.
They sound similar. You know, look, she tosses them horribly and keeps them alive for as long as she possibly can. She draws it out and then she ends the lives.
Yes, same.
She's not a nice person, not even a little bit.
No.
But it is based in it's like a medieval world.
Oh, okay, and that sounds interesting.
And it's rapidly changing into an industrial revolution. So you see it all from her perspective. You see the change in the world from her perspective, and how she gets bothered about that, and how she feels about it, and then when she's murdering people, it's all from her perspective again. It's not how the victim feels; it's how she feels the victim feels. If that makes sense.
That does. Yeah. Yeah. So you've basically gone in first person.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's all from her perception. It's how she feels about the entire encounter, not how the other person feels.
That's it.
So she's a like, when if you met her in real life, you'd think, what a lovely person, and you just don't want to meet her in that respect. Because she has very high expectations when it comes to a scoring policy.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I did sell us guys underneath a bus, really, because, you know, us guys, we think that once we've done, we did his job, we did brilliantly, we're a racehorse champion, and we should have scored a 10, no matter what.
That's it.
Yeah, and the reality of it is, you know, that roll-on, roll-off policy is not what a woman wants, really.
Yeah.
The literature speaks for itself in that respect. What she does to them because of their roll-on, roll-off policy is quite horrendous.
Yeah. So is that the new book that's coming out, or is this one that's already out?
That one was the first one, Expectations. Expectations Bittersweet is the second book in that series.
Oh, okay. So it's a series?
It is a series, yeah. There's going to be a third one as well, but I'm taking a break from Expectations and writing Saviour because Sally, she exhausts me as a character. She really does, because I'm not a lady.
Yes. And
so to write from a female's perspective, I have to get into a particular mindset.
Okay.
And it's really, really difficult. Like she has psychological problems, and all the way through the book, you can see them. Like, you know that she's not normal.
No. Yeah.
And the people know that she's not normal. She's got her problems, and people kind of like avoid the obvious. What they should be doing in a crazy place and locking her up.
Yeah.
But no. And that's all the way through. But like you see the things and you see the way she is. Like, for instance, she has bad dreams and you get to see little bits to her past in the bad dreams, and you try and piece together why she is the way she is.
Yeah.
And it's so that's the detective work for the reader, you know, and no one's right or wrong. So whatever the person thinks happened.
Wow. I'd say I'm quite intrigued. I will have to definitely try and get hold of that book. Where can people like find you?
Me? Within online or?
Within online. Say somebody listened in and they wanted to purchase your book.
Expectations can be bought anywhere. It can be bought online. It can be bought you can go and order it in bookshops. I know it's not stocked in bookshops at the moment because it were my first ever book, and you know it's like being an author. You're either in a bricks and mortar shop or you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it is. You can go into like Waterstones and order it.
It
will take you a few days for it to come through for you.
Oh, right.
Or you can order it online from Amazon, or you can order it online from any online bookshop or anything like that. You can offer e-books and whatever else. It is obtainable pretty easily, actually.
That's pretty cool. Are you on Twitter?
I am, yes.
Do you know your Twitter?
I do. If you give me a second, I'll actually find it. I don't know it. I know it off by heart, but I don't know it off by heart, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I've got a weird brain.
Don't worry.
It's the way I catalogue things. Right, let me just put Twitter up. This is where my computer says, no, you forgot your password. So at this moment in time, I'm still putting everything back on my computer.
Yeah.
I should just be able to put my email account in. I should have already done all this, shouldn't I, before?
No, it's a spur of the moment thing. It doesn't really matter anyway, because I'll just get it off you after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this should be password. She says it out loud.
I was going to say, I'm just going to like edit that and just delete that.
No, I won't do that for you.
Yeah, it's like some people, I think some people set their password as actual password.
Yeah, I've done that before. I've actually really done that. Set my password up as password.
Oh dear.
And apparently I forgot my password. That's just terrible.
Yeah, we'll get it later.
I do have it somewhere. I'm worried if I push this button, it's going to no. It's not knocked off, has it? Is it knocked off?
No. I'm here.
It's all right. It is on my because I've got a version of my book on eBooks. Well, it's not actually on eBooks properly yet, but it will be. It's on Google Play at this present moment in time. Just uploaded it. So look at it.
Yeah, I looked into Google Play about books, and I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, on my second book. Yeah, if you just get the PDF version of your book,
yeah,
and then click the button, it goes up.
Oh, all right.
You've got to put it onto your phone first, and when you click the PDF on your not the PDF the EPUB on your phone, it'll upload it to Google Play so that you can look at it. Only you can see it though. So my Twitter account is @Drew.
@Drew.
_Lee.
Underscore
Wilkes. So that's me Twitter.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll put it in the bio as well, so that people can just go onto the website and check you out as well.
Fantastic. And I have got, well, I'm on Instagram as well, which is terrible, and Facebook. But so if you want me to tell you what they are as well.
You just send them in an email or the messenger, and I'll put it up on the website.
I can definitely do that.
All right then, cool. Anyway, it's been an absolute pleasure, man, and I really appreciate you giving us this opportunity to interview you.
No, thank you for the opportunity, Wayne. It's been brilliant.
Cool, I really appreciate it. Anyway, I'm going to get off, and I'll catch you after the show.
Okay, mate. I'll see you later.
All right, see you later, mate. Take care.
Thanks, bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
We are on air. It's Talk Left Right.